The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsberg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginsberg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
In this week's parsha, Parshas B'Shalach, we're told of the splitting of the Red Sea after the Jewish people left Egypt. Pharaoh decided to pursue the people, and they fled and they reached the Red Sea, and then Hashem worked a tremendous miracle for the people that the sea split. Actually, according to Chazal, it doesn't say so explicitly in the Torah, the sea split into 12 different paths that each one of the 12 tribes went through in its own path. That even though this is not explicitly stated, but there's an implication or an allusion to this that follows explicitly in the Torah, and that's what we're going to address today. After this great miracle, the splitting of the Red Sea and the Jewish people passing through the Red Sea on the dry land, then we were aroused through the means of the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, that all together with Moshe, that we sing a song of thanksgiving and rejoice and praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having worked this tremendous miracle for us. And then, after this whole tremendous story of the splitting of the Red Sea and the Song of the Sea, Shirat Hayam it's called, then we continue to enter the desert and begin the journey, towards Eretz Yisrael, towards the land of Israel. And the first place that we reach, the Torah tells us, after the whole miracle of the Red Sea and the Song of the Sea, is a place that is called Elima. That's the name of the site. It's a permutation. The letters that compose this name, Elima, permute the spell one of God's names, Elohim. That's the name that has to do with the creation of the universe. When God created the world, the story of the creation, the beginning of the Torah of Genesis is explicitly and exclusively uses the name Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, and so on. And that name Elohim permutes to spell the name of this particular site, Elima. And the Torah, for a not such clear reason, makes a point of telling us of describing the nature of this place, that it was like a beautiful spot in the midst of the desert that had, it says, 12 fountains of water and 70 palm trees, 70 date trees. Shtemis reinot mayim v'shivim tmarim. That's the, like an oasis. So this is obviously a very unusual thing, because we went through the desert. There were 42 different campsites in our journey that took 40 years traveling through the desert until we finally reached the land of Israel. This is the only place that the Torah makes a point of describing it as this beautiful, unusual spot in the midst of the desert, an oasis in the middle of the wasteland, and saying just exactly what composed this place. It was composed of these 12 fountains of water, 12 wells or fountains, and 70 date palm trees. So this is the image, as we're trying to pursue our meditation every week based on Parashat Shavuot, take a central image from the Torah reading and to meditate upon that image. So the image for this week that we'll meditate upon are the twelve fountains, Einot Mayim, and the 70 Tamarim. So after just trying to visualize this in our mind, that we're in the midst of the desert, after all of the great miracles of the Exodus and displaying the Red Sea and singing our song to Hashem, now we have to start walking through the wasteland towards Eretz Israel. But the first thing is we reach this oasis of Elima, which again some revelation of creation. Since this the name of this site is a permutation of the name of God's name of creation, so it must mean that there's a very, very strong revelation of God's continual recreation of reality in this site. And the physical manifestation that it takes is this manifestation of the 12 fountains and 70 palm date trees. So since it is so unusual, the fact that the Torah should describe this site in this manner, the sages, and following the sages, Rashi, who is the most important commentary on the text, explains that this must be an allusion to something. We can't just take this literally and that's it, that it just happened to be 12 Einot Mayim and 12 fountains in the 70 Tamarim. It must allude to something. So again, Rashi is a literal commentary on the text, but nonetheless the text begs to give this image that we're meditating upon some symbolic meaning. What does it symbolize? So Rashi says that it symbolizes the 12 tribes. Once more, this is what we said before, that the fact that the sages taught us that when the Red Sea split, it split into 12 different paths, one for each tribe. It doesn't say so explicitly in the text, but it's already beginning to allude to what's going to follow, that there are these 12 fountains of water that do explicitly, because there's no other way to simply explain what the symbol is, that they symbolize the 12 tribes. And the 70 palms, palm trees or date trees, the Tamarim, they symbolize the 70 elders of Israel. There are 70 elders, which is the court, the Sanhedrin, 70 elders that were appointed by Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says that those 70 elders, which are the leaders, the judges and the leaders of the Jewish people, they are symbolized by the date trees, and the tribes themselves are symbolized by the fountains of water. Right, so this is very, very nice, very beautiful, just to try to picture it in our minds. But let's try to now go one stage deeper into understanding what this means. In the classic, the first classic text of Kabbalah, which is called Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Formation, it says that the 12 tribes are referred to as 12 diagonal lines, or 12 diagonal borders. It's called Gvulei Alachson. Now, if we would picture, for those of us that are familiar with the what's called the Tree of Life, which is the way that the forces of creation, which we call the ten sfirot, which correspond to the powers of the soul, are usually visualized as being projected on three lines, three coordinates, one to the right, the other to the left, and the third in the middle. And there are triplets of sfirot, one to the middle, and one to the right, and one to the left, and then another, once more middle, right, left, and once more middle, right, left, and then again middle. If you picture very simple geometric form, and then draw diagonals from the middle point to the right and to the left, and then from the right and the left back to the next middle point and so forth, you will see that there are 12, exactly 12 diagonal lines. Now there are other explanations in the Kabbalah to these 12 diagonal borders. That's the explicit term, Gvulei Alachzon. But this is the simplest to visualize. The 12 diagonal lines here are connections between the right and the left and the middle of this world. Each tribe, therefore, thereby corresponds to one of these diagonal lines. Now, if we try to geometrically even picture it more completely, we'll see that each diagonal line is actually a diagonal line in a small square. But to have a diagonal, there must be a square. And the diagonal is the diagonal line of the square, either going from upper left to lower right or from upper right to lower left, depending on whether the diagonal is going from the right line to the middle or from the middle to the left or from the left to the middle or the right to the middle once more. It means that each one of these diagonal lines is actually in a small square. Right, now this is going to be the basis, the foundation to understand why there are 12 fountains of water that correspond to the 12 tribes. Understanding that the 12 tribes correspond to 12 diagonal borders or lines. So first we'll try to understand this, and then we'll want to understand what are the 70 palms, the 70 date trees that represent, symbolize the elders of Israel. The word fountain of water in Hebrew, Einot Mayim, as it says in the text, means literally an eye, an eye that you see with. Meaning that each fountain is an eye. Now an eye is a perspective on reality. Like you would say, even idiomatically you would say that a person has a certain eye on the world, on reality. A certain way of observing. And by observing, a certain way of judging reality. Each tribe, it's a soul root. It's a different soul root of the collective soul of Israel. Each soul root, which is called each tribe, perceives reality from a different angle. The diagonal line is looking, perceiving reality from a certain angle of perspective. And what's important about these 12 diagonal borders is that it's not looking straight ahead at reality. It's looking at reality diagonally. It's as though I would say that I'm looking not straight with my eyes, but for each one of these fountains is an eye on the world. So it's not looking just straight ahead. It's as though my eye is looking at taking a 45 degree angle and seeing things diagonally. Now what is the difference between looking at things straight on, straight ahead, or looking at things diagonally? That's what it means, these 12 fountains of water, which are the 12 eyes. It's the difference between just seeing the thing as it is already created. To look straight here means just see the object as it has been created, even though we believe that everything is created ex nihilo, but you're not at all seeing or perceiving or experiencing in any way the act of recreation, because you're just looking at things straight. Whereas in Kabbalah it's explained that looking at things diagonally gives a glimpse upon the nothingness that precedes the somethingness of the object that you're perceiving. Once more, one of the purposes of the Jewish soul is to be able to perceive, not just to believe that the world is being recreated, but actually to experience it, to see it. In order to see recreation, you have to be able to look at things at an angle, diagonally. That's what we're taught in Kabbalah. That's why even the very word alakson in Hebrew, which means diagonal, is a composite word that has in it the word listakel, which is to look, to observe, and it also has in it the word ayin, at nothing. And the very word in Hebrew of alakson, an angle, is looking at nothing, being able to perceive the nothingness which precedes, but is continuously involved in recreating the tangible object at hand. So once more, if you look at things straight, you're just looking at the tangibility of reality. But if you look at things in a diagonal, as each tribe has its own particular diagonal angle on reality, you're observing the intangibility of the object. Right, so this is the meaning of the twelve fountains of water. That there are 12 different eyes observing reality. That each eye is that particular perception, the angle of perception of that tribe. The common denominator is that all of them are looking at the inner nothingness of reality, not at the outer somethingness of reality. What do the palm trees or the date trees represent? That there are 70 of them corresponding to the 70 elders. So once more, we have, just as we did with the fountains, that we have to understand what it means in Hebrew, what the word means, to gain insight what we're being taught here and what we're trying to imagine now in our meditation, to visualize. But we look at a tall palm tree or a date tree, what is it saying? In Hebrew, the object is created by the letters of its name and by the meaning of its name. The word tamar, which is a date literally, is one of the words in Hebrew that means to change. Changed, changeability, tamura. The deep meaning of a palm tree is a power of transformation. And we'll call it a power of self-transformation. I mean, that's what we should have in mind now in our meditation, that each one of these palm trees, which is once more the date, this fruit itself, now we're actually approaching Tu Bishvat, one of the, maybe the most important of the fruits, the fruit which in Kabbalah corresponds to Malchut, to kingdom, to the renewed and perfected kingdom of Israel, is in Kabbalah represented by the date, by the dates. But the dates, from the very meaning of the word, and also this image of reaching this oasis with 70 date trees, meaning that there are 70 soul roots, there were 70 descendants of Jacob that entered Egypt, and now the 70 soul roots have become the 70 elders of the Jewish people, that these souls represent or give to the people at large the power to continuously be involved in self-transformation. So even eating a date, when you eat a date, you should have in mind that you're now receiving the life force to transform yourself. Transformation, self-transformation in Kabbalah is a function of Malchut, of kingdom. That's what kingdom is for, is to bring the people of the kingdom to positive self-transformation. Very beautifully, even in English, the word transformation has the three basic letters of tamar in it. So that's what tamar is now meaning for us, and that's the literal meaning of the word, that is the power to transform oneself. So now we have two concepts which very, very clearly relate and are actually obviously interdependent upon one another. That first, the 12 tribes are general perspectives, angles on perceiving reality. And then from those 12 different angles of perception on reality come the 70 more individual powers to change myself. Meaning that first I have to be able to see the world differently. And the basic teaching that I can't change myself, I can't transform myself if I still perceive or experience reality as I did up until now. I have to reach that soul source that I perceive reality anew. Anew to achieve a new angle on reality. A new diagonal vector eyesight on reality. And then the next stage from the 12 tribes, which are these 12 fountains of water, the 12 eyes, is to be able, through 70 different individual powers, to metamorphosize. Self-transformation is metamorphosis. It's to undergo some spiritual metamorphosis, which is what the 70 palm date trees symbolize. Right, so after explaining this conceptually, what we should try to envision, we'll now explain it a little bit mathematically, what it means. What is actually the ratio or the proportion of a diagonal line to the square that it is within? As if I have a square, we'll take just as an example a square which is 5 by 5. So the twelve tribes, the 12 fountains of water, are these 12 diagonals. So if the measures of the square is 5 by 5, we'll say, so how long is the diagonal line? So if the diagonal line was in the square of 5 by 5, it's just a little bit, a drop more than 7. But 7 is a very, very close approximation of the diagonal line within a square that is 5 by 5. It's so close that when the sages have to approximate the length of a diagonal line in a ratio, in proportion to the side of the square, so throughout the Talmud we find that the approximation of the sages is 7 over 5. Now that approximation of 7, what is 7 over 5? 7 over 5 is 1.4. What is the exact ratio of this of the diagonal line to the side of the square? It's the side of the square times the square root of 2. But since the square root of 2 is an irrational number, it can't be given an exact fraction proportion. So you have to approximate. Because if one wants to use whole numbers as fractions, you must approximate. What is, how does one express the square root of 2? In decimals. It's 1.4142135 and so on forever and forever. It's an irrational number. Since it's irrational, once more, there are no two whole numbers that as a ratio, which means as a fraction, can express the square root of 2. The closest approximation in whole numbers from 1 to 10 are these two numbers, 7 and 5. Meaning that the secret of these diagonal lines, the 12 diagonal lines, are all in the ratio, most approximately, of 7 to 5. But 7 to 5, if I would add those two numbers, which is the diagonal plus the side of the square that it's in, so 7 to 5 is actually 12. Not only is 7 and 5, do they add together to be 12, but in Hebrew they connect, they unite to form a root which is a simple root, a simple word, which is the word zeh, this, which whenever you want to identify something, and when if you point with your finger at something, and pointing doesn't mean that you're looking at it straight, in our case it's looking at it diagonally at a 45 degree angle. So when you point with your finger at a 45 degree angle to see something, so actually what you're saying is zeh, this is it. And this is it means not this is the external shell or the external garment, which is the tangibility, the apparent tangibility of the object, but it's the inner essence, which is the divine nothingness that is ever, forever creating and recreating this object anew. Right now, one of the deep secrets of this week's Torah reading is that for Moses, who is the most all-inclusive soul of the Jewish people, this is his own, this is the Torah portion in which he himself transforms. If we would have to link Moses to one of these two categories of the 12 tribes or of the 70 elders, so he obviously belongs to the 70 elders. He's not one of the 70, he's the all-inclusive of the 70. He's the elder, he is the Zaken, which means elder, the Chacham, which means wise sage, that is all-inclusive all of the 70. Meaning that he represents absolute self-transformation. Now, in Kabbalah, we're taught, and even in the revealed dimension of the Torah, that the Torah reading in which he himself undergoes his own greatest self-transformation is this very Torah reading of Bishalach, having to do with the splitting of the Red Sea, and then he, together with the Jewish people, singing the song of the sea, and then finally, ultimately, reaching this site in the desert, this oasis in the desert, which is Elima. What is his transformation? It says his transformation is from his previous level of prophecy to his new level of prophecy. That initially Moses prophesied just as to all of the other prophets of Israel. And his prophecy is through what the sages term the translucent pain. He doesn't see things absolutely clearly. He sees things through a translucent pain. And when a prophet sees divine reality and revelation, he receives the revelation through a translucent pain. His prophecy, he begins to say the words that he has received from heaven, from God, with the word ko. Ko in Hebrew means so has God said. Like this, it's not exactly, it's not precisely, it's just approximately. So actually the very word that all prophets use to begin their prophecy is ko, as this. Whereas for the first time after having used this word many, many times throughout the account of the 10 plagues and then the splitting of the Red Sea and so forth, as Moses had prophesied with this word ko, as do other prophets, here at this point, after the splitting of the Red Sea and after the song of the sea and after reaching this place called Elima with its 12 fountains and 70 palms, for the very first time in the very next story that the Torah tells, which is the story of the manna falling to the Jewish people and being given to us to eat, Moses reaches the epitome, his true level, his absolute level of prophecy, which begins with the word Zeh. This is exactly what Hashem has said. Now the way that this is explained in Kabbalah is that the word Ko, he now transforms. He himself is transforming from Ko, so, to Zeh, this. That's the transformation here of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ko, which is spelled as, both of these words are two very simple two-letter words. Ko is Kaf He. Kaf equals 20 and He is equals 5, meaning that Ko is 25. Meaning that Ko represents the square itself of 5 by 5. Means that he began, Moshe Rabbeinu began from this very simple square. Mathematically, we should speak of a square of 1 by 1. Why do we speak of the square of 5 by 5? Since the ratio that we're going to come to, the most perfect approximation of it is 7 to 5, so that's why we initially speak of a square of 5 by 5, which is the square of Ko. The transformation process is through the means, as we said before, in order to transform oneself. It depends upon new perception, which are these two images of this place, the fountains and then the palm trees. Right, so the fact that the fountains are 12, that's exactly this word, Zed, that it's the diagonal 7 within the side of the square. Each one of the sides was just 5. So first he was 5, just the simple square without the diagonal line in it, which is the 5 by 5 goal. And then appears the diagonal line at this point. Right, so this explains for us very beautifully, mathematically, the secret of the 12 fountains, which are the 12 eyes perceiving reality from a diagonal. What about the very number 70? How can we understand the number 70 in relation to the number 12? That these are a pair in this very respect that we're discussing, that we're trying to reveal here. So we must perhaps say one more mathematical point, simple observation, that the reason that 7 and 5 is the ideal approximation of one digit numbers from 1 to 9, whose ratio is almost that of the square root of 2. Once more, 7 over 5 is 1.4. Of simple numbers, the next best choice between 7 and 5 would be 3 and 2. But 3 and 2 is 1.5. Obviously, 1.4, 7 over 5, is closer to 1.4142135, three dots, which is the square root of 2, than is 1.5. So once more, the closest approximation is 7 over 5. How can we understand that? If I said just a moment ago that 5 squared is 25, what about 7 squared? What would happen, or what does happen, if I take this diagonal line of 7 and draw that also as a square? This is a concept that appears in halakha, in Jewish law. Sometimes you have an initial square and then you take the diagonal and then you project from that diagonal another square based on the diagonal. So the square that would be created, or that is created from the diagonal 7, is 7 squared. 7 squared is 49. If the 7 squared would be 50, one of the secrets of the 50th gate of understanding, which is the unknown, the unknowable gate level of understanding, then I would have exactly the square root of 2. Because once more, the exact diagonal line, the area of the square that it creates, is exactly twice the area of the initial square. That's the meaning of the square root of 2. So would the square of the diagonal be 50, then it would be exactly the square root of 2. But it's not 50, it's 49, it's one less. Now, if the initial square is 25, and the square of the diagonal is 49, there's a very simple relation between the two. 25 is the middle point of 49. If I have 49, if I line up, say, 49 dates, I'm talking about dates, take 49 dates and line them up in a line, and then I take the middle date. Since it's an odd number, it has a middle. An even number doesn't have a middle. So the middle date is the 25th date. Meaning that 5 squared is the middle point of 7 squared. So now I ask a very simple mathematical question. When do I receive another pair of numbers? It's not going to be one-digit numbers. It's going to be the next pair is already going to be two-digit numbers. When will be the next pair of numbers that the square of one is the middle point of the other, of the square of the other? If I'll have that same phenomenon with bigger numbers, then the approximation to the square root of 2 will be closer, will be a little bit closer than before. So once more, the ideal pair of simple numbers is 7 and 5. That together, these two numbers, 7 and 5, these two components equal 12. The next pair, which has the same property, identical property, of the square of the smaller number being the middle point of the square of the higher number, this is obviously possible mathematically. Since the square root of 2 is irrational, it's impossible that any whole number, its square, will be the exact half of the square of another number. That's impossible. That's the meaning of the square root of 2 being a irrational number. It is impossible that you should have one number, one whole number, that its square is the half of the square of another number. So what's the closest that you can come to is this phenomena that we're now observing, that the square of 1 is the middle point of the square of the other. When does this happen again? It happens with the two numbers 29 and 41. The 29 squared is 841. But 41 squared is 1,681. But two times the square of 29, 2 times 841, is 1,682, which is one more than the square of 41, which is 1,681. Meaning that the square of 29 is the middle point of the square of 41. So that's the next time that this happens after 7 and 5. But we said that the meaning of the 12, the secret of the 12 fountains of water, was the 7 and the 5 to get added together, which forms the word Zeh. What happens if I add together the next pair of numbers, 29 and 41? So what do I get? I get 70, exactly. So this is the real deep secret of the pair of these two numbers in this vision of the 12 fountains and the 70 palm or date trees. That these are two stages of development of the relation between the diagonal to the side. At first, it's just gaining perception on the inner nothingness of reality. And then it's this very perception helping or allowing one to transform oneself completely. To adjust, we'll call it, to adjust oneself to this new perception upon reality. Which means that in your own prophecy, every soul has its prophecy. It's raising from the translucent plane to the transparent plane, as we didn't mention before, that the ultimate prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is Zeh, this, not Kol, is he comes to a level of transparency. That reality is totally transparent, not translucent. So that is what is happening in this oasis of Elima. It's one's own transformation from translucentness to transparency. In his vision of recreation, which is his vision of Elohim, and his own becoming as Elohim. So this is the meditation for Parashat Bishalach, the oasis after the splitting of the Red Sea and the Song of the Sea.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org, www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galinai means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginzburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah. to discover God and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galley Night team and participate with Rabbi Ginsburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Galley Night team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galley Night team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org. www.inner.org, or email us at inner@inner.org.